Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We are in the midst of a most interesting study of demons. This is the time in which Jesus met that man that was possessed of a legion of demons. And if a legion was 6,000, which was the original number, you think of an army of 6,000 soldiers. Here you have Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, standing there facing an army of 6,000 demons. But he is unafraid. The demons are afraid of him. This is the time that Jesus had them leave that poor unfortunate man and cast them into the swine. And the swine ran and drowned themselves in the Sea of Galilee. And the text for this lesson is found in Luke chapter 8. It's in Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 is where we're going to be reading and studying. Actually, we begin about verse 31, Luke chapter 8, 31, where they're saying, "Don't send us out of the country," and they did not want to go into the abyss. And so we'll look at that in just a moment. But while you're turning your Bible to Luke chapter 8, this is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and it is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our brick meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. It is a very pleasant and beautiful setting, and you'll enjoy the drive out there. But I hope you enjoy more of the worship if you'll attend one of our services. The saints have been meeting in this location for over 100 years. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Sunday school lessons we're studying were written years ago by a preacher named E.A. Elam. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday of November 26, 1922. Well, let's continue with Elam's notes. Concerning his notes on Luke chapter 8 and verse 31, we're reading where the demons were requesting that Jesus would not send them away out of the country. It is equivalent to the request to not to command them to depart into the abyss. When I think of an abyss, I think of a deep, open pit that is out there, and it's a frightening thing to look down into the abyss. Perhaps smoke coming up out of it, and it is so deep and it is so dark that you cannot see the bottom. It is certainly not a place you would want to go. We read in the book of Revelation in several places about the abyss. The abyss is perdition. The abyss is the bottomless pit. In verse 8, Luke 8:32, the demons preferred to go into the bodies of hogs than to go into the abyss. So they requested Jesus to permit them to go into the hogs, and Jesus granted this request. When the demons entered the hogs rushed from the mountainside on which they were feeding down the steep into the sea and were drowned. The hogs appeared as though maddened by the demons, but the demons could not control the bodies of the hogs. They had control of the body of a man, but they couldn't control the body of a hog. By the death of the hogs, the demons were driven out of them and forced into the abyss at last. Why Jesus permitted the destruction of so much property is not very clear. Really, we cannot tell. It has been supposed that he did so because the hogs were unclean animals according to the law under which the Jews were to live, and that the ones who owned them were in an unlawful business, or, if owned by Gentiles, they kept them in violation of the law for the Israelites. Well, it had an effect upon the people. We read this in Luke 8:34 through 37. It states that the effect of this wonderful work Jesus had on the demonics and on the inhabitants of that country, they that fed them, Mark 5 and verse 14, are those that were keeping those hogs. We've read about shepherds. These are swine herds, herders. The country was not fenced with all kinds of stock that were protected by the herdsmen. The swine herders witnessed all that were done. all that was done, however interested they may have been in the release of the unhappy demonics, they fled when they saw the hogs filled with demons rushing down into the sea and drowned. I think I would have fled myself. Some ran into the city, and some through the country, and where they ran, they told everywhere what had happened. Those who heard the wonderful story of the swineherds came to see what had come to pass. Matthew 8:38 says all the city came. Luke says all the people of the country. When they came to Jesus, they beheld a wonderful sight. The demonic man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, a position of humility, trust, and security. For a long time he'd worn no clothes and abode not in any house. And the people, when they saw this, were afraid. They were filled with wonder and awe over the manifestation of such miraculous power. Those who had witnessed what had been done by Jesus declared the facts in detail to the multitude. Then they began to beseech Jesus to depart from their borders. They were not ready to receive him. They were filled with fear at his miraculous power and did not appreciate his mercy or understand his mission. Since the destruction of the swine may have been punishment for an unlawful business, they may have feared that Jesus would visit upon them other punishment for many other sins. People must have the right condition of heart to receive the truth, and for their failure to have it, they themselves are responsible. The people of Nazareth rejected Jesus because of their lack of faith. Since these people would not receive him, Jesus at once granted their request and departed. The man saved from this horrible condition was very different from his neighbors in that he besought Jesus that he might be with him. He made his request as Jesus was entering the boat to leave that country. He felt that his only place of safety was in the presence of Jesus. Our only place of safety from sin and the power of Satan is in the presence of our Redeemer. Jesus suffered not this man to go with him, but said, "Go to thy house and to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee." Jesus usually forbade those he miraculously healed to publish it abroad, but he did this in order to prevent undue excitement and the gatherings of such multitudes as would interfere with his work. There was no danger of such things in this case, and since he was leaving the country, it was proper that this man should proclaim his power and mercy. This is the true missionary spirit. Tell your friends what great things Jesus has done for you. Does it not seem that every Christian should be glad to do this, and that none could prevent his doing? This man obeyed. Decapolis means 10 cities, and was a larger country than the country of the Gergesenes, or that of the Gadarenes that embraced both. All men marveled. And this man went about preaching the power and mercy of Jesus. The people remembered what he had been and saw what he was then, a living monument of what he was proclaiming. This one man produced a great change in the people by the time Jesus again went into Decapolis. And when he again visited that country, great multitudes gathered about him, and he healed the lame, the blind, the maimed, and many others. And the people glorified the God of Israel and said of Jesus, "He hath done all things well." It is in that country that Jesus would later feed the 4,000. This demonstrates the fact that God is ever ready to bless when people are ready to receive his blessings. Now that concludes this particular Sunday school lesson, but at the end of this lesson, Elam wrote a special little article on the lessons of missionary work. Here's what he said. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill," Matthew 5:17. One of the prophecies Jesus fulfilled is the following: "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem.'" Isaiah 2:2-3. And you can also see the prophecy at almost the same words in Micah 4:13. "Jesus tasted of death for every man," Hebrews 2:9. "And after his resurrection, he said, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" Luke 24:45-47. Jesus is the fulfillment of all this. This shows his mission, and that he is the greatest missionary in the world. He came to seek and to save the lost, and to call sinners to repentance. He came not to be served, but to serve, and even to lay down his life for the salvation of the world. He came not to do his own will, but the will of God who sent him. A missionary is one who has been sent on a mission. God has sent every Christian on a mission. Hence, he made everyone a missionary. Everyone who knows the gospel and is not a Christian is not because he has no responsibility or no mission, but because he is not fulfilling his mission. The Church of God has a mission, and its mission, and it is missionary to the extent that it is fulfilling that mission: to glorify God, to honor Jesus, to save themselves, and to save the world. Is the mission of the church. To save themselves, people must live in obedience to God at home and in the common affairs and daily obligations and duties of life, and following the commands God gave through Paul, Timothy would both save himself and those that heard him. To save themselves and to save others is the work of the church. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:13-16. Every man has been sent on a mission. One, to himself. Two, to his own family. And three, to his immediate neighbors. And four, to the world around him. The Great Commission embraces all nations for all time. The gospel was preached from Jerusalem unto all the nations by the church there. Different churches became radiating centers from which the gospel was preached: the one in Antioch in Syria, the one in Philippi, and the one in Thessalonica are fine examples of this. Every church must be the same. And when it is in the full discharge of its duty, it will be sending the gospel to all the world. Every Christian and every congregation of Christians is in this sense leaven, sending out a permeating influence for good and extending the gospel until the whole world has been leavened. Every Christian is a light, sending forth Christianity from himself to themselves, like the light of the sun all around, from the center to the remotest bounds of the earth. Listeners, are you such a light? Is your influence such as leaven in this sense? Is the congregation where you meet for public worship such? What are you and your congregation doing to extend the kingdom of God to men?